Amen. I'm glad that I know his voice. Amen. I hope tonight is, we give some testimonies tonight. One of the things that is a blessing, I remember the first time that I heard, for myself, about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the first time I really heard it. It was in a chapel service. I was 5 years old, and I was in the center section. Our church only had like three sections, and I remember that it moved me, but I wasn't real sure about going down, and I remember my friends went, and I went after my friends, and, you know, but I know after that I was thankful that people were faithful to keep telling me until I received. And, you know, here with just these students that we have, I know sometimes these students, you know, they're training for the ministry, and they don't think they're ever going to get to it. Amen. And we try to tell them over and over and over again that you're in the ministry right now. We let you teach, we let you work the bus routes and all these things, and a lot of times they miss that, you know, they miss that thing, and they think someday I'm going to be serving God. But even the testimonies that they give tonight, you know, they may not often think of that, but, you know, some people's eternal destiny were changed because they came to Landmark Baptist College, because they served the Lord and went soul winning, amen, because the church sent them out and had a burden for a college. And sometimes we make things, it's got to be a big thing, but, you know, salvation's big to every person that receives Jesus Christ. It's a big thing, amen, and we got to keep that ever before us, that it's the little things, just being faithful, and the little things will turn out to be big things someday when we get to heaven, and the Lord's going to be able, well done, my good and faithful servant, amen. Who's starting us off tonight? Dylan? All right.
Good evening, church. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Dylan Ottenreith. I'm a sophomore this year at the college. You know, I have to agree with what Pastor Parsons says, is Landmark puts you in the work. And that's one of the reasons why I love Landmark so much. I don't know of any other Bible college that cancels a week of classes to go strictly soul winning the whole week. I'm grateful for a church. I'm thankful to the Lord for a church and a college that puts such an emphasis on soul winning, because the value of one. I was saved as a freshman here at college, and I love Landmark. To get into this, this was my second soul winning marathon. My partner was Aiden, and the team of the girls that were with us was Juliana and Andrea. And you know, I personally didn't get to lead anybody to the Lord during the week, but we had a lot of good chances to give the gospel. Ran into a lot of people that were already saved. And they were just, you know, backslidden out of church. And it was a blessing to, you know, be able to hand them a fire, put them in a good church. And so the whole week went by, and then it was on the last day, the girls were talking to actually through a window, to a mother who was already saved. But there was a young boy, he was probably about 10, 11, or 12, came up, and the mom said, "Well, listen, why don't you tell my son this?" And so Andrea got to lead that young man to the Lord. And there was tons of kids at that house. So me and Aiden got to talk to them while they were talking to the mom and the young man. And a lot of them were saved already. They went to a church on Wednesday nights, but they said they were going to start going to Bethel. Bethel, right? So anyway, it was a blessing. I love soul winning. I love Landmark for putting such an emphasis on souls. And It was a blessing, and thank you guys for praying for us, for supporting us, and for everything you guys do for the college. Thank you.
Amen. Hello, church. My name is Juliana. I'm a freshman in the college. This is my first soul winning marathon. This is my first time speaking from the church, so I'm a little nervous. But my soul winning partner was Andrea, and I had Aiden and Dylan as the guys. And we had a lot of fun. At first, I was a little nervous going because I'm not around the college a lot because I work a lot. But it was such a big blessing just be able to be with the college. And, like, during lunch, I try to sit with just about everybody at the college. So it was a big blessing that I was able to get to talk to everybody there as well. When we went out, at first, I was, like, super nervous. I was, like, I'm not really outgoing. So I was, like, praise the Lord, Andrea is. So I let her talk for a while, and then after a while, we got into it. I was able to talk to, lead a people, go through the gospel with a few people, and a lot of them said they were already saved. So it was nice being able to see that a lot of people were still going to church, and if they didn't have a church, we were able to give them an opportunity to go to a good church. And so thank you for letting us all go out. It was a big blessing to me, and I know to a lot of the other students as well. Thank you.
Good evening, church. I'm Rashad. This is my fourth year at the Soul Winning Marathon. This year, my partners were Josiah, Ayana, and Miss Whitehead. And on the first day, me and Josiah, we went to his house, and we saw one person saved. His name was Terrence. I think he's 14 years old. And then afterwards, we walked down, and around the end time, this next teenager guy, his name was Melvin or Marvin, he was saved too. And he thought he was saved, you know, because Josiah asked him, well, did you accept Christ as your Savior? And he wasn't really sure about it. So Josiah went through it with him, and then he was saved. And I just thank God just for allowing me to see that, because, you know, there's plenty of teens out there with no direction and no hope in this world. And they turn to the things of this world to give them, you know, entertainment and keep them distracted. So I just thank God just for Landmark, for you guys to have us as young adults really just going out there and just using our time wisely. And I'm just grateful for this church. Thank you guys for always praying for us. Thank you guys for always just giving towards us and just wanting to see us grow. And I just appreciate everything that you guys do for us. And amen.
Amen.
Good evening, church. My name is Valerie Betancourt, and I'm part of that big family back there. And, this is my second year going to Soul Winning Marathon, and I'm proud of it. And, the preaching was great. Every preaching that Pastor Carter, I kind of figured that every preaching he said or, he preached about how great our God is, like a miracle, like the preachings he said and everything. That was a big blessing to me. And my partner was Rachel Lowther, Raymond Rodriguez, and Russell Long. And I didn't really get to lead anyone to the Lord, but my partner did and everything. And that was a blessing to me. So thank you, church, for supporting us and preparing for us. Thank you.
Hello, I am Craig Borgazzani. I actually missed last year's Soul Winning Marathon due to some health stuff, but I was able to go this year, and I had a lot of fun. It was a big blessing to be able to go to a different area of Florida and see kind of some different scenery and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool, and just the fact that we can go as a college to a whole different place was awesome. I was able to plant a lot of seeds. I wasn't able to lead anyone to the Lord. Luke Carringer was my immediate partner, and we kind of got moved around from different partners. We had George and Jerry, and we were there for that one that Jeremiah talked about, and that was really cool to just kind of be kind of silent partners to them at the same time, because we have to kind of stick together as a group. So we kind of waited for them when we got around the corner, and we kind of figured out what had going on. So we prayed for them. So that was really cool. And also, we're helping out Bethel Baptist with their website and getting video streaming up. So we got to do that while I was there as well, and we're continuing to do that. So just the fact that as being an employee of Landmark and just being able to see how much Landmark does, even in the background, it's just really cool. So, big blessing.
My turn now. Good evening, church. My name is Soyunut Om. Can you say it? No, that's good. You can call me Yani, and I'm a college student, come from Cambodia. And I'm nervous a little bit. So if you not know my English, like understand it, you can ask Ms. Vaselis. She's my English teacher. And so about my Soul Winning Marathon, this is my third time. I'm really excited to going out. And I remember my first year, I led five souls to the Lord. And it was my first time and lead five to the Lord. It was really blessing to me. And the second year, I didn't lead anybody to the Lord. And this third year, I didn't lead anybody to the Lord either. But it was encouraging me already that I heard 50 souls saved, even though I didn't lead anybody. But God showed like how much He gave a chance to lost people still get saved. For me, I always heard about like us. We always asking people like, if you die right now, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And we always like telling them about Jesus, how much He loved them and saved them from hell. And for me, it's always like the Holy Spirit always telling me that even though I'm not leading anybody to the Lord, it's important. Like if I lead anybody to the Lord, I'm really excited and, you know, full of encouragement. But the point that I want to say is obedience. Like, even though I did not lead anybody to the Lord, but I follow what God commanded me to do. So thank you so much that you're praying for us. It really encouraged me. Feel so safe, you know that. Like, thank you so much for support everything and in the college and everywhere, that, everything, even the inner show and stuff. So I'm a little bit nervous, but thank you so much.
Amen. I think we were supposed to have one more tonight, but his name was Buddy Holly, and I think he missed it, and I think he was working. He's supposed to be working over in the gym, and I don't think he got the memo, but praise the Lord. We'll get him in. We can't miss him. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Proverbs, and I do appreciate all the different testimonies, and I do appreciate you, church, praying. And there's so many times, even as a student going out on the soul winning marathon, it was always I always got stuck with somebody that they did not want anyone else. I was listening to the radio on the way to the airport and the other day, and couldn't get our station anymore, and I think I switched over. I'm not sure what the station was I was on, but it was some radio, and they were doing some marriage counseling, and they were talking about marriage, and just pretty much said that marriage is not the absence of conflict. It's about conflict resolution. And so, you know, that's why the Bible tells us to deal with our wives with knowledge. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, but that was really, I always was put with someone. I had been married for a long time, so I was good at conflict resolution. And so as we were together as partners and things, and so I had a lot of good time with the different people that were, typically I would be with a foreign student and someone who had a little bit, I was good at trying to let them speak, and they would go, we would have as far as they could go, and then I would try to step in. And when they looked at me like they don't understand what I'm saying, you know, and then I would take over. And so we had, but there were other times that it was not someone from a foreign country. They were absent of reality. And then they would send me with that person so that I could help them. And praise the Lord. So we were always enjoying our time that we went. But it was always good. Always got to go and tell people about Christ. You know, a lot of times good people that live, they're solid people. They pay their bills. They go to work and they do all those things. A lot of those people that you meet behind the door, oftentimes they think that they have this mentality that the devil's allowed them to believe that they're not a bad person, so why would they go to hell? And so many people are not bad people. They're just lost people. They go to work every day. They pay their bills. They work hard. They're good Americans. But if they don't hear somebody tell them that they're on their way to hell, if they don't hear somebody come and really give them an opportunity and it said it don't matter, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are, your goodness is as filthy rags when you get to heaven. And people need that, because I've met a lot of good people. I'm from a place, it's a farming town, and so many of those people have been so good for so long, they think they're going to get there. And then there's others that are religious, and they think they're going to get there because they've been a Sunday school teacher their whole life, or they think they've done enough good works for the Lord or for the church that they're going to get there, but they've never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And it's going to be a sad day, folks, when they wake up in hell. And, you know, sometimes people, I know there's a lot of churches, and it's a I don't want to say a dying art. I don't believe that. I really believe that churches themselves, because of the confrontation of soul winning, they're leaving it. They're trying to witness in other ways with billboards. And a billboard can never be the witness that you or I could be. All right, a sign could never be, and even a track, you know, you put the words in print and you pass it out. And again, it's still never as good as the Apostle Paul saying, let me tell you what happened to me. I was walking down the road one day, and the Lord, I mean, like a bright shining light, amen, smote me down on the way to Damascus. You know, it's something about when we give our personal testimony that this isn't some theoretical action that can take place. It happened to me. Everybody, as a witness of Jesus Christ, a lot of times people don't think, I could never be a witness. I could never tell somebody about Jesus. Have you been saved? Just tell them what happened to you. And usually people realize, man, if they're just like me, they're just an average Joe like me, and if Jesus can save them. Or they may be, man, I know you. You're real bad. I'm not that bad. God can save me. Amen. But again, so many times in our lives, sometimes we're always looking for the worst case scenario of people. The person that looks like, you know, that they're wicked. God doesn't just save the wicked. God saves the one that's a good man, a man that's got character, that provides for his family and loves his family. But he'll go to hell if he doesn't hear about Jesus. And we need to be mindful of that. Some of the best people in all the world that you may even call them friend, they may be on their way to hell if you don't tell them about Jesus. Amen. So tonight in Proverbs chapter 12, as we look at it, we spent some time in just one verse. But I think it kind of kicks it off. It gives us a good, again, a contrast. He says in verse number 1 of chapter 12, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. And we took time to give the verse and just take that word instruction and be very mindful of laying out the definition of the word and how this book transitions from being a soul winner into this instruction. And so I want to be instructed by the Lord God. I don't want to go back and take too much time. But again, whoso loveth instruction. I don't know if you love instruction tonight. But again, when we come to church, I believe that it shows my preacher, Pastor Carter, told me a long time ago, this is a counseling session. And the church is supposed to show up for it. He takes the word of God and preaches and tells us about what the Bible says that we should add or take away from our lives. And we should take the counsel or the instruction from the word of God and do that on a mass scale. If people would come 3 times a week and they would be obedient to the counsel that the pastor gives to church, most of them wouldn't need counsel with him in his office. And most people, there are still people in the church that need counsel but won't come get it because they know what the preacher's going to say already, because he's already said it in the church house and they don't want to come in there and hear it again. They'd rather just go out and do what they want to do. Amen? So here, loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. Knowledge is going to be born. I'm going to get some knowledge once I follow the instructions. We took time and talked about the instruction manual. I have already broken out an instruction manual this week about something else that my wife is having me install in the house. And I began to put it together, and I went, But I didn't let her see me do that. Amen. But he that hateth reproof, and we said reproof. Reproof is to be rebuked. It's to be taken to a place where we're reproved. We've done wrong. And we took time to talk about that. He's laying out a foundation. It's going to come in the rest of the chapter here. And again, not everything is going to tie in. A lot of these are good. But he's going to get to this brutish. He's talking about a man. And that person that does not like reproof is brutish. And we took time to lay that out and tried to explain that this isn't just a person of brute strength and someone who's absolutely always evil. A lot of times they're ignorant. They're stupid. That was the definition. That's not my definition. That's the 1828 dictionary. And a lot of times we don't like to hear those things. But again, when I'm going away the opposite way from God and someone stops me and says, you're doing wrong, and that is the direction of right, and you've been given instruction, you're not knowledgeable if you keep on down the wrong path. The person that ends up with knowledge is the person that took the instruction and put it in their life and headed in the right direction. So with that in mind, he begins verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. Yeah, how do you balance this? This good man, this is a guy who is following instruction. From verse 1, how are we going to measure a good man? It's somebody who doesn't mean he's sinless, doesn't mean he's perfect. This good man that we're talking about is someone who's taken instruction and is following. He's not brutish. He's following. He's getting instruction. He's adding knowledge. But when he follows the instruction and he uses the knowledge God has given him, this good man, so-called by the wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, Solomon, under the inspiration of God, says this good man is going to obtain favor of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want desperately to be a good man. I want to follow God's instructions. I remember long before I really surrendered my life to preach, as a young teenage boy, looking forward to getting married, I started to like my wife. You know what that's called? Like. That's what we did in the 90s. That's what it was. It was like, I like her. Amen. And that's like a double like. Amen. I don't know. That was before Facebook. And I don't know if you can double like, but I'm just saying I liked her. And I liked her so much that I knew that I was going to commit to marry this lady. Do you know, let me just say this for God's people. All right. The purpose, I don't even like to use the term dating. All right. Dating is one time. That we set a time to get together, all right? The idea of courting, that means that the relationship, we've become friends and we are headed somewhere. Why would you just go out and not really be determined to be married? That's what the world does, okay? If you're going to go out somewhere together or come over to, for me, we never really went out together. I went to her house and she came to my house, and my parents watched her and watched me together. And then all of a sudden we grew up and we got married. And the purpose of the world goes out and they try to date and see if it's going to work, you know. No, you ought to be friends before you ever start into this situation and realize that both of you are saved. You know there are deal breakers in this life? I mean, like a deal breaker would be they don't go to church. A deal breaker would be they don't use the King James Bible. Or they don't go to the right church. You say, what do you mean? Well, let me explain what unequally yoked is. That means they are not saved. Don't boil it down to all kinds of other things, all right? Well, they're not, educationally on my same level. I don't want to be unequally. No, we're talking about a spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of God living in one of you and not living in the other. The Bible gives terminology that will tell you if you're a husband and you're already married and you get saved, how to deal with the lost spouse, but it doesn't give any dating relationship for a lost person and a saved person. It says you ought not even think about getting together. You ought to run in the opposite direction. Amen and amen. And beyond that, there's no even need to start in a relationship if you can't get the basics down. If you don't use the same book, if you don't go to the same type of church, if you don't love the same Jesus. And by the way, there's a lot of different types of Jesus that people worship. But not only are they different because they're not the same. We serve a risen Savior. He's not just a good prophet. He's not just somebody that people draw a picture with long hair. It's Jesus, the one that died, was buried, and rose again, and seated on the right hand of the Father, that every knee will bow to someday. Not everybody worships that Jesus. So we got to be sure that we're on the same page with all those things and saved. You say, well, how do I know if they're saved or not? Well, you know a good testimony when you hear it. Most good testimonies of salvation don't have "I hope" in them. I think. And they also don't have "I was with this preacher and the preacher saved me." Preacher ain't never saved nobody. It was Jesus that saved them. You better perk your ears up. I don't want to be dating somebody that I got questions about. Amen and amen. You say, "Why are you off on that?" I don't know. The Lord got me over here where this is at. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will be condemned. It contrasts a good man that's going to follow instruction. He's going to follow instruction all the way into God's favor. God has a place that he can say, "Man, this is my servant Job. Check this guy out. Look how he follows my instruction. He's my servant." And that's what the good man is. The good man is somebody that is following God's instruction and growing in knowledge, and he has favor of the Lord. You can't tell me, all right? He doesn't say that this is God's favorite. Doesn't say this is God's favorite man. Or that God, you know how it is. How many of you are parents in here tonight? You had kids at some time or another. All right, so you got kids. You know this, all right? I love every one of my kids the same. Every one of them. I mean, I would give my life for either one of them. I love them. I can't even explain how much I love them. And so if I could put it on how much I love my child, how much does God love us? Right. And then every one of us, I've got five in my quiver. And so when we go into this size of group, it just landmark, how many of all the children of God does God have all over planet Earth that are alive and remain even to this day? And he's not got any favorites, but if you are obedient, you can get in his favor. The last time I talked about this, and I just want to skip off the story, my daughter was being obedient coming into Christmas. She was begging for something that I did not want to get her. I didn't think it was harmful. I just didn't want one. I didn't think it was going to make her. I didn't think it was going to be like, yes, she's going to live the rest of her life and go, "I got a trampoline. Woo." I don't think it impacted her life very much. I don't see her jump on it as much. You know how it is. You know, that she played with the box more than she did the trampoline after a while. That's just how it is, folks. It's just how it goes. But at the same time, she was being obedient. She was being helpful. She was listening to instruction. And all of a sudden, the heart of no, not because it was a bad thing, not because it was something that was going to hurt her, but I didn't think it was, it just wasn't expedient at the time. But when we got through all those things and I watched her be obedient and I watched her listen to instruction, I watched all those things, all of a sudden now it was, "Mama, we need to get a trampoline. Man, she's coming to my favor now. And this is the delight of her heart. And I want to make this a special day for her." Why? Not because she's my favorite. And I wouldn't have spent the money on any of my other children. But at that moment and at that time, she was in my favor. Can you imagine God's people? Listen, you know, things that we pray for, things that we want from God. There's some things that are God's will and he's going to take care of it. I mean, it's God's will that people be saved. You don't have to be in God's favor or out of God's favor. If you are a witness and you give them the scripture has power, and the scripture will save people no matter where your walk with God is. And that's and you say, "Well, you know, listen, God's word does not return void." Okay, so you can be a witness no matter what your level of walk with God is. But when it comes down to God, pay this bill for me. God, take care of this for me. God, I know my family is in this struggle and I need you to do this. And again, it's not going to take you out of everything. It's not going to be. But again, a man that's walking in the favor of God, I can tell you absolutely that good man is in the favor of God. And he says, but a man of wicked devices. So if I'm walking as a good man in instruction, God's going to favor me. God's going to lean towards me. But the man that's a wicked man, and again, you say, well, what's a wicked device? The word device here is defined like this in the 1828 dictionary says, that which is formed by design or invented, a scheme. It even has one of the references, a spectacle or a show. I believe this, a man of wicked devices or someone of wicked devices is somebody who it didn't just happen to him. It wasn't a sin of opportunity. It was, I planned it out. You want an example? How about Ananias and Sapphira? They talked through it before they ever showed up at the church. We sold the land for this, but we're going to tell the church we sold it for this. Like you're going to convince God. God saw it all the time. Now that's an extreme case. I mean, they both died from the thing. But what about just simple something about a spectacle or a show? Planning it out. You know, there's a lot of sin that happens. Watch this. A spectacle or a show. You planned it out. Here I am at this place and all these people around. I know it's wrong. You know, a lot of people, there are a lot of Christian kids that never smoked or never drank, but they're put in the wrong situation with the wrong crowd and trying to get attention or trying to get popularity or by the peer pressure, they'll go, watch this. And they thought it through. They stood there and thought, I know this isn't right, but I want more than I want God's favor, I want favor of my peers. More than I want the favor of God, I want the favor of this little snap of my life. And they do something that they know they shouldn't do. They know that mom and dad would teach them the opposite way. They know they shouldn't do that. And it's a device. It's something they created. It's something they stepped into after they thought it through. The word itself is just that. That even the word vice. You know, there's a lot of people. And you know, we're realizing this. And I'll just use this. I don't think it's a great, I'm not going to like hit somebody with a rock right today. But there are still teenagers still vaping. It's kind of gone off the scene. But you know, vaping was a big thing. They thought it was the biggest thing. Everybody did that. And they thought, oh, this is not harmful as smoking. I'll vape. You know, there's a lot of them that some of them died. And some of them, we don't even know all of the things that are going to happen to our teenagers over the next few years because of the chemicals that were unregulated that they pumped into their body because they just had a wicked device. And then the vice got a hold of them. They thought they had a plan, but the device had a plan for them and got a hold of them. Now, now you say, well, I don't know. Is it, you know, it's that serious, folks. I mean, there are people I know personally that still are grieved on the inside because they thought they were getting away with it. Thought they were doing something. I'm not going to do the evil thing of smoking. I'm just going to do this. You know, I tell you, folks, there's a lot of times, why not just be a good man? Why not take instruction? Why not gain knowledge? Why not decide that the favor of the Lord is more important than the favor of my friends? Why not realize that the favor of what God wants for me and what God has instructed me to do, I need to follow those things. He goes on, he says, A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. He's going on and he's talking about a man. He's going to transition almost into a family, marriage, relationship. This good man, God ordained the family. And I talked about dating and things here, but God is going to have the family centered in a lot of things that are going to happen in Scripture. And here, a good man is going to want to have good instruction, and God has instructed, again, marrying a wife is a good thing, the Bible says. It's a good thing to find a wife. And he's going to build on those things, but here he's going to say, a man shall not be established by wickedness. You're not going to go out here and cheat people and get on top of the world by doing that all the time. You say, well, you know, there are people that do that. Yes, but it's going to catch up with them one day. You may see the thing driving down the street and see it one day and take a snapshot of them smiling and thinking everything's going all around. You just watch it the reel down a little ways down the road and you watch how they wreck the thing and they wreck their life, or they seem to be smiling, but they're on their third wife and they're keeping on, right on in sin and wickedness. And there, it looks happy from the outside, but it ain't happy. The Bible even says that there's pleasure in sin for a season. There's a lot of people that have had one good season, but there were three more that they reaped what they sowed into one. And then the next year comes up and they're still reaping. And the next year comes and they're still reaping for one season of pleasure. We've got to be mindful of all the things that the Bible says and how it instructs us. But here he says, not be established. A man on this earth, A man wants to be established. He has a desire to establish himself as a, again, here in the context, a good man. I told you before, when I began, I kind of launched out, but I remember all I wanted to be was a good man. My dad asked me, he said, what do you want to do with your life? I said, I just want to be a good man, Dad. I want to take care of my family. I just want to work a job. I want to be a good husband, and I want to raise a good family for the Lord. And that's just, it was my desire in my heart. I didn't have any dreams of being, you know, the biggest farmer that the world had ever seen. I want to be this or I want to be that. I didn't have any glorious things, but I had been raised in church, and I knew that the thing that God desired was for me to be a good man. I didn't have to be a preacher to be a good man. I could just follow God's instruction and be a good man. I didn't have to be the choir director to be a good man. I just had to be a good man and follow the instruction of God. And if He instructed me in righteousness to be a preacher, or if He wanted me to do that, but God desired, and He's going to build this to a family setting. He's going to say, a man shall not be established by wickedness. Wickedness is not going to be a good foundation for a church. Wickedness is not going to be a good foundation for a home. Wickedness is not going to be a good foundation for a business. Wickedness is never going to be a foundational establishment that you can build upon. It's always going to crumble. It's always going to have soft ground underneath. It's always going to fall apart somewhere when you least expect it. When you think you're getting ahead, all of a sudden the bottom falls out. Because you established it not on the perfect principles of the Word of God and of a good man and the instruction of the Lord, but you built it upon wickedness. He says this here, but the opposite. But the root of the righteous, that root, see, now we had established being grounded. Now the righteousness of the Lord, it's giving you a picture of a tree and roots going down. It's being established. It's setting down some roots and growing. And now my family isn't just sit and established on a rock, but now my tree is, my roots are going deeper and deeper. As I grow up in the Lord, not only is the tree going this way, but there's three times deeper in the ground. And the higher the thing goes, the deeper I root. That ought to be a great picture of the Christian. As I dive into the Word of God, as I learn more instruction, as I grow in righteousness, and I become a good man for the Lord, I'm growing. And you don't always see it on the outside immediately. But on the inside, there's roots digging deep inside of me. And the Bible's connecting Scripture with Scripture. And I'm not just saved just to be saved to go to heaven someday, but now I'm saved to serve. And now I'm not just saved to go to heaven, but I'm saved to serve. And I'm saved to be selfless and not try to save and put everything on me, but I want to go after others and tell others about Jesus. I'm not just worried about those in my own house, but people beyond and around. I want to serve God with my life. And I want to find out how can I get more favor from God? What does God want from me today? How can I make Him happy? As a child, I remember my dad. I thought my dad could do anything. I thought, man, my dad, I remember my grandfather was just a tiny man. I mean, he wasn't even 5 foot tall. And I remember him getting out there one day, and I mean, he just wanted to try to prove to us how strong he was. And I was just a little kid. I mean, I couldn't have been more than three, because he got sick, and I preached a little bit about him Sunday morning. But I mean, he was a strong little man. I mean, he was just hardly nothing but bones. But I mean, he hooked his fingers in the swing set, and he was doing pull-ups on his fingers. Now, he didn't weigh nothing, all right? You know, I can do a pull-up, but my fingers would go pow. Okay. But I mean, I watched him and I just thought, man, that is a man. I thought, man, that is the pinnacle of a man. I watched my dad do some things, but you know, they weren't always good men. But I remember the day my dad got saved. And the things that I thought were important in life, I watched my dad start throwing those things away. Now a man wasn't a Marlboro man. Now a man was somebody that could crush that box and leave it on the altar and then walk away from it. The strength was in being able to give up the thing, the vice that had him. Then all of a sudden, I watched how that man, all of a sudden, his heart changed. And instead of going to go fishing and being out on a weekend, we went to church. And I remember him hear the preacher say something on Sunday morning about something that needed to be done. He walked up and he said, now, preacher, don't you worry about that. I'll take care of it this week. I remember my dad late at night. You want to say, well, where did you grow up in the faith enough that you had a work ethic, Brother Parsons, that you got like you now? because I don't remember anything else, but my dad was a good man according to the world and would work, and he loved the Lord. He served the country in the military, but all of a sudden when he got saved, he got to be a good man for the Lord. And instead of trying to get the favor of the world, my dad was trying to gain God's favor. And I can remember, my dad hauled trash. My dad was a trash man, had his own business. But he went up, first thing he did after he got saved, he said, "Preacher, I don't know what else I can do around here, but I'll come get all the church's trash. Don't you pay anybody to get the church's trash. I'll get the church's trash." Changed his life just like that. And then all of a sudden, he knew how to work on buses, and he'd lay under buses and work at night. Say, what kind of work ethic is that? I remember my dad saying, "Son, this bus has got to run Sunday." I was just a little boy. I don't even remember. I'm maybe 9 or 10. And I'd hold the light for him under the bus. And I'd go to sleep. And the light would roll over on the ground. And he'd shake me and say, "Son, I got to see. This bus has got to run tomorrow. Hold the light for me." And I'd just hold the light. And I tried to be faithful. I didn't know how to work on the bus, but I could hold the light. Listen, and you say, "Well, I don't know what I can do for the church. I don't know what I can do for God." God's not asking you to fix big things or do all the things. Start where I started. Do whatever you can. Hold the light wherever you can hold it. And try to stay faithful in those areas. And then God will grow. You'll grow and you'll grow and you'll grow. If you follow the instruction of the Word of God and you say, "Well, what are good men?" Good men are men that are taking the things off that God told them to get rid of and picking the things up that God tells them to take. Listen, this week, you know, what's this week about? What's my Christian life about, preacher? How am I going to be successful in the Christian life? Following the instructions that God gave you this week. Somebody called me this week and told me about what they thought God told them to do. And I said, "Well, what in the world are you calling me for? Get to work. You know what you're supposed to do. Get doing it." They wanted some affirmation, like they didn't want to go halfway through it and it was going to be wrong. I was like, "If God told you to do it, you better get to doing it." Amen. Listen, folks, God loves us, and he gives us instruction because he wants us to stay in line. He wants us to get in line, really, with him. We always think about getting in line is because we're out of line and we're going to get smacked like a child. No, God asks us to be in line because it's the safest place for us to be. It's in line with him. It's lined up with him. Amen. Nothing shows a family. You know what shows, you know, you say, "Oh, look at that family." You watch that family. Daddy comes in, daddy holds the door, mama and all the little kids walking in line. They all look like they're dressed the same. Ain't one of them wild and crazy dressed. Everybody looks like they're dressed the same. Everybody's going to the same place, going the same way, and that looks like the picturesque, perfect family. And you don't know what's going on the inside of them, but I know this. When the family of God shows up, man, I want to be heading in the right direction. I want to be lined up with everybody else that's going to God's house. I want to be in line with what God wants me to do. And a lot of times we're going to be all dressed up like the same way, doing the same thing. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll pray. We're probably going to have choir practice because Sunday's coming. Amen. And the choir's got to sing, sing, sing. And then the preacher's going to shout, shout, shout. And the people are going to praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we desperately need in this day and age, we need good men to serve you and follow you and lead their families. God, I pray that you'd take some of these teenage men that are in the building and make good men out of them. God, I pray you'd take some of these men that are middle-aged, God, that are still serving you in desire. Help them to find favor from instructions from your word. God, help us even and the aged men, God, that desire to serve you, help them to get in favor with you. Well, thank you and praise you for it. Help the choir now as they practice. And again, we ask you and beg you to heal Miss Julie Pitts. In Jesus' name, amen.